little better.
Who's emptying out their account tomorrow morning? I want to see a guy I've always chosen. Who's emptying out the account?
Mine is empty.
Who's emptying out their account? Is this theory or practice? That's what I'm asking. Because I, you know,
the Rebbe said that. The Rebbe didn't tell us to do it now. The Rebbe encouraged.
Did I ever say that people should give tzedakah l'mailum v'didav agbola? Explain that to me.
What?
A person should give tzedakah l'mailum v'didav agbola. Beyond all measurements and all limitations.
You're used to giving 100, give 200.
But the Rebbe said it was ma'isa, chaymish.
And l'mailum
is that. And l'mailum is that biz l'mailum v'didav agbola.
If you have to explain that,
I don't know. You tell me what I mean.
If you have to your account, you can't get tzedakah.
What?
If you're broke, you can't give any tzedakah.
The verse is like this. If you're connected to God's will, okay, if your life is, if you see your whole life as an extension of God's will, okay, when you're connected to God's will, then you have everything. There's no such thing. In other words, the whole idea, the reality that we live with is two separate worlds. There's God, and then there's the real world. So because to us, God and the real world are two separate things, so what happens is like this. Most of the time, we function by the rules of the real world. Okay? A little bit at a time, okay, we're willing to take, even though we function by the rules of the real world, but we'll do God's rules as long as they're like not too scary. As long as they don't rack the real world too much. Okay? As long as God's rules are more or less compatible with the real world, then we go along with it. As long as it starts racking our reality a little too much, then we say, God, listen, hello, you're a nice enough guy, but you know what I mean? Get real. You better come back to me with some more realistic demands, and then we'll talk business. That's what we do, right? In other words, the question is, the guy says, listen, chitas, very nice thing, chitas, right? But you got to be realistic, okay? It takes me 45 minutes in the morning to brush my teeth and shampoo three times, you know, and use all my sprays and roll, you know, it takes time. It's things I got to do in life that the real world require, right? Then there's davening, there's breakfast, there's going to work. These are things that have to be done. That's a nice thing. If I could squeeze it in between the toasties and the, you know, and work, that's fine. If not, I turn around and say, God, listen, we got to be practical, we got to be real. The real stuff must go on. The real life must go on. You know, chitas, it's nice, it's good, it's to have a seder every day, and then chassidus, and nigla. Okay, beautiful concept. I love it, I wish I could. But it's, right now, reality doesn't leave too much place for that. Okay, my real life, I have real responsibilities. I gotta go to work, I gotta punch that clock, I gotta go. Now, it's true that I do manage to find some time to read a newspaper or to listen to the radio. You gotta be in touch with the real world. You gotta be in touch with reality, you gotta know what's going on, you gotta know what's here. You gotta be able to stop and talk to people by the water cooler, you gotta be able, you know, you gotta live. So you know what I mean? If to all that, I could do some time to learn a maimah, to learn, okay, I have nothing against God. I want to do what he wants. If it fits into my life, comfortably. So that whole way of living, okay, in the Tanya refers to that as avoid the Zohar. I mean, that's the ultimate godless experience. That your life is compartmentalized. There's God and then there's the world. Okay, geula means that there is no two separate things. No, and not only that. In that kind of world, then people who are more learned, people who are on a higher level, those guys should learn more. Right? So you have the balabas who forgot already which side to crack the sefer. When he walks into the yeshiva and he sees two guys talking, he goes, look at these yeshiva boys. That's what they're doing. Right? Why? Because the guy's on a higher level. They should be learning. Not me, because everything is higher levels, lower levels. That's in the world of Giluyim. The God is on the outside, shining into this world. So So I'm a little further away, so don't shine too heavy on me, you know what I mean? Just send me what to pay the bills, and everything else, we'll work it out if it fits into my life. But when nothing else exists except God, and my whole life is nothing more than a mission to express this reality that nothing else exists except God, so then I don't go to work because the world says you're supposed to go to work. I couldn't care less about going to work. I have absolutely no interest. Who wants to go to work? I want to learn Torah all day. Why do I go to work? Because I go to work, because here's an opportunity for me to fulfill God's will. So when everything I do is an opportunity to fulfill God's will, then I don't have conflicts. Then work is not a conflict with chitas and with learning migla and with learning chassidus and making money is not a conflict with giving money away. Because it's all God. And if it's all God, when you live that way, and you live, and then the whole basic premise and assumption is that there is enough for everybody and for everything. I can give because God has, because it's all God, and God has plenty. There's no shortage. I have to live, in other words, I have to live in a world of shortages. I have to have savings, and I have to have retirement plans, and I have to have all these kind of things in a world where there's not enough to go around for everybody.
But it doesn't appear from the Ego's Kodesh that the Rebbe wants people to live that way. It just doesn't appear that way. I mean, it appears.
Oh, it's absolutely that the Rebbe wants everyone to live that way. It's no question about it. No question about it. The whole Mosik of a Shliach, the Rebbe, you know, the Sifus, the Rebbe said that any Shliach who doesn't have debts is a sign that he's not really doing his job. What does that mean? What's the logic behind that statement? A whole Sikha, that any Shliach who doesn't have debts is a sign that he's not working. What's the logic behind that Sikha? The logic behind that Sikha is the same concept of going completely out of your limitations. The whole Basi Lagani, you know, you're talking Yud Shvat. The whole Basi Lagani, the Friedrich Rebbe making fun of the fact that the guy's meals have to be on time and his work has to be on time and this, and the learning could get pushed off. And he says it has to be the other way. That the whole, everything else could go five. Shtus to Kedusha means the whole thing that the Rebbe kicked off the whole Nesius with was Shtus Dikdusha. Shtus Dikdusha means that when it comes to carrying out Midas HaNetzach, the whole Midas HaNetzach in Basi Lagani, what's he talking about? The king throws his life away. That's what the Rebbe's talking about from day one. You look at the Maimonim on the Melech Mashlech Nafshi Mineged and Bizbiz HaEtzris and then the whole tone for the whole Messias was, give it all up. Give it all up. And the Rebbe said, the Chiddush that the Rebbe said was, that since we're coming into a world of Geula, previously when you gave it all up, when a guy went to became a Shlech of the Friedrich Rebbe, and he went al Menas to have Mesidus Nevesh, he was dead. He got what he went for. 3 months, 6 months, a year, boom, God, they took him out, they shot him, and he was dead. He fulfilled the shlichus. The chiddush that the Rebbe said, he gave it all away, and that was it. It was gone, nothing left. The chiddush that the Rebbe says is that today, if you're going to go in an eifen of shtuz to kedush, in an eifen of nitzach and hamucham, without any cheshbenis whatsoever, prepared to sacrifice everything and anything, you're going to end up better off than the guy who didn't. Begashmias. That's the Rebbe's chiddush. After you throw it all away, you end up with more than the guy who's saving. Than the guy who's scrimping and saving. Because he's afraid. Is it worth it?
Where does he say this?
The whole Pasi Lakani. It's 20 chapters of the Friedrich Rebbe's Maimon.
Begashmias, you're going
to
be...
Of course, Begashmias. The whole Maimon. Begashmias, Baruch is everything.
You try to give that over to people.
What is
everything, the whole point.
He said that after the Geula, people will continue doing the same occupations or what have you, because according to what you're saying, you know, the idea of going to work in the salt mines in the Geula just doesn't somehow make it.
I don't have a fucker. If I go to work because I need to live, then once there's going to come a time where what am I waiting for? I'm waiting for the time that there'll be abundance and I won't have to go to work anymore. But if I go to work because I'm fulfilling my divine shlichus in this world, which is to reveal godliness wherever I go, including work. So the Rebbe says, so that'll continue. Yeah, except now...
Sure.
To bring the Aleph of Elikos into Gaila. Now when most people go to work, they're kind of like sneaking out from under Elikos. The Rebbe is saying the way to go to work is, forget, you're there because the Eberstein sent you there. You have a mission there to be Mikhail Elikos. To tell Yidden about Yiddishkeit and Goyim about Shavuot Mitzvahs and whoever you count, in every situation you're in, it's supposed to be an opportunity to be Mikhail Elikos. So of course you're supposed to go there.
But there's an awful lot of other stuff that you have to shovel back and forth in between the opportunities to
do this. So what? So that was exactly Yosef sat in Mitzrayim, and what was he doing there? What was he busy with? The whole day he was busy with Elikos. All day long you had to sit and count every Egyptian, sit and count the money, and count the this, and then and decide this Egyptian's going to live here, that one's going to live there. He was busy with their lives all the time, but that's it. What was his whole mission? His whole mission in life was. Well, it was to fulfill his divine mission in Mitzrayim.
What was the Elikos at the beginning of Yosef, before he even met his brothers?
what are you talking about? He was, in many ways, he brought the Egyptians to it's a question. I mean, the Rebbe talks about that there was a mile in the sun, and he brought the Egyptians to recognize the Eberstein, to have a bris milah, to have a... He was doing a lot over there, and part of L'chatchila's avodah was more spiritual, and later it became more open. But what was he doing there? He was doing one thing. He was preparing the ground for Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim and Mount Tayr. That's what he was there for.
So why does
he was there to gather all the sparks. He was there to gather all the sparks for the Jews to take with them by Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim and go to Mount Tayr.
We're supposed to break limitation, but God didn't show that he's changed nature.
That's not true. The Rebbe says, that's what the Rebbe is saying. That's a lot of baloney. That's baloney. That's what the Rebbe is saying in all the series. God has changed nature on its head. Nothing is the same anymore. The whole world is different. The whole world is different.
A tree
is
a tree?
The whole world is different. No, a tree is not a tree. A tree is not a tree. A tree is not a tree. You're living in a world. It used to be, in order to produce the food for the world, 80% of the citizens of the world had to be involved in producing the world's food. Now less than 0.5% of the citizens in the world are involved in producing all the world's food. A tree is not a tree. What does a tree have to do with being a tree? It's nothing. To have enough food for the whole world. We pay money, our country pays money for people to destroy or not produce food.
Yes, how come your people are starving?
How come people are starving?
Because there are idiots who are still thinking the old way. That is not enough for everybody. How come there's not enough for everybody? Because I'm paying you to make sure there shouldn't be enough to everybody. Because I'm not ready to switch my thinking to the new way.
Why are you saying to throw the money at a person?
Because you're not. Who said you? Why do you have to be the same fool like that one, like the other person is? I'm demonstrating to you how those people are fools. You're saying, so there's other fools. I'm not alone.
Yeah, but what guarantee I'm going to have that I'm going to get my money back?
Because the Amishness is changing. You asked me, did God change all the rules? I said, God changed every single rule in the book that mankind ever knew. In nature. Every single rule in the book. There's no rule that is the same. The fact is that, and that's what the Rebbe is saying, open your eyes and recognize that.
But who said he
says, but mankind is too busy.
Why God makes us here? Why was the Rebbe so meticulous to wake up in the morning, do Seder, to do everything was like so organized,
right?
And here it's like, so you're saying to be like totally like, you know, you gotta be like almost, I mean, seriously, you gotta be like an Avram Avinu type of person
who wasn't organized.
Avram Avinu was hey Nimrod,
cool,
I don't know, like he had a tzaddik, so everything comes to a tzaddik. I'm not a tzaddik. So who guarantees me God's going to give me? He's going
to
say,
the whole advice is to pay.
Now, I did this Avera, it cost you this much. You know, look at Tanya also, how much each Avera can cost you in money. And you can go broke with that. So that's just how beautiful. You threw all your money there. Look, I got your book of Averas. Okay, I don't owe you anything.
So bottom line is that in your belief system, doing mitzvahs can hurt you.
Going way beyond.
I want to ask you a question. Think about the logic of what you're saying. You're saying like this. If I have the same amount of Averas
and I give less stucca, then I'll have more money.
Giving everything.
Hold it.
Giving everything.
I want to follow the logic with you. If I have the same amount of averus,
yeah,
and I give less stucca, then I will end up with more money than if I have the same amount of averus and I give more stucca.
I'm talking about giving everything. I'm not talking in the beginning a bit more.
Hold it. Follow the logic of what I'm saying. If I have the same amount of averus,
yeah,
okay, I have 11 and a half averus, right? Now, if I give $10,000 to tzedakah, I'll still have $100,000 left, but with my 11 and a half averus. But if I, God forbid, give too much tzedakah,
no, give everything. You're
talking. If I give everything,
unless you're ready, Schwartz is saying tomorrow morning you're giving everything away, or you're taking this as like a class. It's a beautiful theory. So I'll shut up. That's it. You're taking it as a theory
one
class.
Follow the logic with me.
No.
If I give some of my money to tzedakah and I have 11 and a half averus, and I have 11 and a half averus, I'll still have money left.
Because God gave.
Yeah. I'll still have for myself. But if I, God forbid, give everything away, that means I gave too much.
Right.
And when I still have 11 and a half averus, then he's going to make sure that I suffer. For the same amount of averus.
Because
I gave too much.
Maybe, wait a second, I'm saying like this here. A tzaddik, since he has no averus and a tzaddik's everything shabbat, tzaddik, everything comes to him like this. So God says, you know what, I guarantee that it's going to be good, but who said to you that I have to give you back in money? I gave you, you know, okay, you gave 20%, and maybe you'll be rich, maybe you'll... But God has a book on every affair that you do. He says, hey, wait a second.
But one second, if you
now
watch...
Now he's going to say, oh, you're expecting? Oh, now you're expecting to receive from me, you know? But that's not what I want. I want you to give everything and also not expect. Oh, that's a, now I wasn't even ready, and suddenly you blew it.
It's
and God's
totally
who knows? He's the king. He might say, this is
I'm showing you, I was completely illogical. It's completely illogical.
What's the trick
you're saying,
in this book here?
It's completely illogical. You're telling me that the more you do for him, the more he will hurt you.
It's like higiasman gulas.
The more you do for him,
tamos, and based on Mikdash Yevamah is standing, and we're still waiting.
Okay.
But Mashiach is here. It's true. We have over 2 minutes. Okay. The world is. But
hello,
you don't know.
Hello,
let
but
him talk,
hello,
let him talk.
Hello. But the point is like this: your thinking is by definition corrupt and un-Jewish, which is that the more I will do for God, the more he will hurt me. There is something, somehow you have that in your equation, that the more I do for God, the more he will hurt me.
And I'm saying beyond a certain
because, what's
a threshold.
Hold it.
And maybe hurt me is in a sense because God, like, he does that. He does it to people. You become
okay.
Nicer.
One second.
Because he says it's a tickle.
One second.
You got
to
go through
one second. The Yetzer Hara's job. job in this world is to convince people that the more you do for God, the more you'll be hurt. That's his job. He has one job in the world.
And God says, I hate you, but I do it for love.
The Yetzirah's job is one job only. To convince people. He'll use everything. He'll use Shas, and he'll use Tosfos, and he'll use Chassidus. He'll bring you all the logic in the world. But he has one job. His job is to convince you, the more you do for God, the worse it'll be for you. That's his job. The Rebbe has one job and one job only. His job is to convince you, the more you do for God, the better it will be for you. That's the Rebbe's whole job. And that's what the Rebbe's been telling people from day one. Always. You won't find me one place where the Rebbe says, do an extra mitzvah and get screwed. You won't find it. Why? Hold it. Let me talk. Not because the Rebbe forgot to tell us that.
No, I mean,
he overlooked it. Or it's a secret he doesn't want us to know, and you have to wait till the revelation of Gil Schwartz, who says, hey guys, it sounds good on paper, but do it, you get screwed. No, that's not that the Rebbe forgot, he left it out. It wasn't an oversight. The Rebbe's mission in the world is to tell us that the more you do for God, the better it will be. Okay, now the Yetzirah's job is to say, the more you do for God, the worse it will be. The Eibishter, in order to help the Yetzirah do his job, and in order to make the Lubavitcher Rebbe's job a little more difficult, what the Eibishter does is that sometimes he makes it that sometimes l'chatchila it could look that way. That's what he does. Because otherwise, the Yetzirah would come and say something totally ridiculous, and we would just laugh at him. Right? So in order to give the Yetzirah some kind of power, what the Eibishter does is he creates sometimes times and spaces where for a moment it looks like the Yetzirah is right.
I would like to put my head down and all of our places.
That's what he does.
So that's the trick. So, you know, we'll live with that. That's going to tell me. It looks like the
Yetzirah. So that's what the Eved Hashem does in order to make the Yetzirah a little more convincing. He has to give it, create situations which look for a moment like the Yetzirah is right.
Okay, so fine. So okay. Wait till 20 years, the guy suffers for 20 years. And said, then after that, he's about to croak, he burns a pot of gold.
That's the Yetzirah scenario.
And then he gets Gan Eden and he's a big star.
Doesn't it say in Gan Tshuva that similar to what he was saying, that sometimes the person gets close to Hashem and the tikkun is he suffers. What the person feels, and you're right, it's a moment.
The idea, the concept that the closer you get to God, the worse it gets for you. The Gemara says that the Eved is more exacting from those who are close to him. So this concept, that the concept that you, when you get closer to the Eved, the worse it gets for you, is only a concept for somebody, for an idol worshiper. In other words, an idol worshiper who says like this, there is a world, there's God, and then there's place that's empty of God. There are places that I could go where I can get away from God. So if I have a choice, get close to God or get away from God, it's preferable for me to get away from God. Because if I get close to God, then I'm going to get burnt because you get too close. The whole idea that Chassidus was Begala was that there's no such thing as closer and further from God. God is everywhere and in everything, and there's no such thing as closer and further from God. The idea is only to what degree you recognize how close you are to God. So the point is like this: as your recognition and awareness of your closeness to God grows, then you have a greater appreciation for everything that comes from God. In whatever form it comes. The fact is, as you get closer to God, you only get, the good gets better, it doesn't get worse. It only gets better. The question is sometimes does it become necessary that the good, that some of the good things are things which are painful? Yeah, sure. These guys, the marshal, you hear? Somebody comes knocking on my door. Someone comes knocking on my door. He traveled all the way from Eretz Yisrael. He needs an operation. He wants me to give him money. What does he want me to give him money? That someone should cut his stomach open and rip out a piece of himself. He wants me to give him money of his own to cut him open. And he's coming, he's begging. He's knocking on my door, he's begging, please, give me money. Why? So he can cut me open and rip out something that's growing inside me. Why? Because he wants to live. So therefore, even though, generally speaking, I'm certainly not, don't want anybody cutting me open, right? But because I'm a person who becomes aware that his situation is such that that's what he needs, so he wants it. This man wants it. He's coming to me, begging me to help him pay for the cost. He wants it.
God should give some more anesthetic.
One sec. So there comes, there's no question that there comes a situation, a part of the process of gaining a greater awareness of the fact that everything that exists in the world is God and godliness. The Alter Rebbe explains in the Negeiros HaTshuva that the purpose of fasting that one of the possible explanations of why the Sifrei Musa bring to fast is so that if there are sins that I need suffering for, in order to convince the Eved to give me that suffering, he may not think I'm worthy yet of that suffering. I need that suffering. So in order to speed it up, that the Eved should give me the suffering sooner, I want to appease him with a fast. Say, Eved, to give me that suffering sooner. That's one of the explanations that the Alter Rebbe gives for those fasts. In other words, if you really want to do tshuva, if you really want what's really good, then sometimes you want what's really good. You sometimes that good comes in painful forms. But not all good things are universally experienced as pleasure. There are many good things that are sometimes experienced as pain. Now, the fact is like this, that the more godliness becomes your life, okay, the more godliness becomes your life and your whole being, then the more, the Rebbe says, the more revealed good you experience. It's not only the more good you experience, sometimes it can be revealed or not revealed. The more you reveal in the gashmis of your life, of your daily life, that everything in the world is God and godliness, the more you experience revealed good. So the only concern that a person could have is that if I get too close to God, I might get some of that unrevealed good. The answer to them is saying no. The Rebbe is saying that today the world we live in is a different world. The world that we live in today is a different world. That if you reveal that connection to others, with completely and absolutely in every area of your life, without any limitations, that you go out of all your limitations, and the Rebbe says you see revealed good going out of all of its limitations. That even things that previously were limited to be experienced in a way of not such positive good, the Emerson goes out of his limitations, so to speak, and you experience revealed good in ways that you could not previously imagine. But there's no question that a key ingredient in the process of Gula is completely going out of yourself. And without that, and therefore completely going into yourself, into your true self, which Rebbe says your true self is being one with God.